Well, hello everyone, and welcome. Thought I'd do something a bit fun today, which is that over the weekend I compiled statistics with the help of Grok. I looked at all of the civilizations in history, and using the Wikipedia lists of war pages, got Grok to compile win, loss, and draw statistics for all of the nations ever, and came up with stats where we could see who is the most warlike nation of all time, who has got the best win-loss ratio, and other such fun stats. And I thought, well, this would make quite a fun video. If nothing else, I know it's going to be contentious. I've already seen people like Carl Benjamin and Apostolic Majesty, no doubt Bo from Lotus Eaters, and every other history buff under the sun is going to quibble with some of these stats, what Wikipedia lists as a war as opposed to a battle, and so on and so forth. But the bottom line is, if Wikipedia lists it as a war and sticks victory, defeat, or some other draw, some other result is a draw, inconclusive, whatever, then it's going to go down in the stats. So without further ado, let's talk about it. Before we get going, pick up a course at the academic agency, Trivium, best one, Foundations of Shakespeare is the newest one, both fantastic courses, many other great courses available. If you're wondering, the cigar is Cuban, Vegas or Rabana or Rabena, depending on how the Cubans say it, I guess it's Rabena. Beautiful, plush, luxurious cigar with thick, silky smoke. So, yes. Anyway, let's get going. Now, I've got my phone here with the stats on them, and when I make the video, hopefully some graphic will appear over here, if I edit this correctly, and you'll see the stats as I'm talking next to my face, okay? So, table one is world history military performance by win-loss ratio in war. And again, remember, these stats are made by compiling the statistics from Wikipedia using Grok. And I'll just say that because Grok is notorious for lying, I made it do the stats again and again and again for each nation. It took quite a bit of time. I was like, no, this bit is wrong. Don't take stats from elsewhere. Don't skip any steps. So I watched Grok go through each individual war, attribute the win-loss condition, and come up with these stats step by step. So, I know Grok is a liar, but Grok has not made these up. I've basically forced it not to skip any steps. Okay, so in terms of win-loss ratio, so that's the total number of wins divided by the total number of losses to come up with a wins per loss ratio, okay? And the number one power in history is the Roman Empire with a phenomenal 8.0 win-loss ratio. For every one loss, the Romans had 8 wins, and that's the best in history by an absolute mile, okay? Number two is the British and the English. I should mention that for the purpose of the stats, the English history starts in about 850, and anything involving the Anglo-Saxons, the English, from that point on is counted. It doesn't include pre-Roman era stats for the Britons, because it didn't really exist as a nation state. So it's the English stats are from about 850, if memory serves. Their win-loss ratio is 5.75. USA, new kids on the block, is 5.2, which is pretty good considering they've only been around for 250 years. Russia is number four in the win-loss ratio stakes with 4.1. Russia in general, pretty good in these stats, I have to say, as we'll see. Number five are the Arabs, who have a win-loss ratio of 4, which is still pretty phenomenal, to be fair. They racked up a lot of wins early, the Arabs. The Chinese have 2.3. Now, the Chinese stats are a little bit funky because the early Chinese period is basically notable for there being a kind of core, like an emperor, and then a pile of warring states around it, rival kingdoms. And according to Wikipedia, you know, they list these as wars. Typically, civil wars are not counted as wars. But in the Chinese case, because it was a core kingdom versus outer kingdoms, they do count it as a war because technically it's an external power. And let's say, I don't know, the Shang dynasty gets overthrown by some external force. That's put down as an L for China, okay? And so in these stats, where it says China, basically the win or loss condition is set by whoever the ruling house happens to be. So when it's the Qing, the Qing dynasty, you know, Q-I-N-G, it can, or when it's the Zhou, Z-H-O-U, if it's a win for them, it's a win for China. If it's a loss for them, it's a loss for China, okay? So you understand it's whoever the ruling house is. But it does mean that a lot of Chinese wars, for anybody else, you think of it as an internal war because it all happened in modern-day China with different rival groups. But for the purposes of this, there's no easy way to do it, basically. So, yeah, there's a kind of asterisk on the Chinese stats. Mongolia has a ratio of 2.0. Prussia is 2.0, or Prussia-Germany. With the Germans, Prussia and Germany get to act as one people, but the Holy Roman Empire is not counted as Germany. And neither have we got the Germanic tribes from the Roman era. Again, reason is, well, they weren't actually together as a nation state, okay? And generally speaking, I've used that rule. So you'll see like Iran in these stats. You know, all of the successive Persian empires were in Iran and they were the same people. So they get continuity. In the German case, it was the same people, but it wasn't a nation state. So they weren't together. So they don't get counted all together. In the Chinese case, it's the core kingdom, okay, which counts. In other cases, as we'll see, like for example, the Roman Empire and the Byzantine Empire are not the same. Different places, different people. They don't get counted as one. Whereas the successive Arab empires, same places, same people, they get counted together, okay. You can argue in each one of these cases, but generally I've gone with whatever intuition says, really. France has 1.36. Now, again, with the French, they've got continuity going back to 336 AD, something like that. We start with the Franks, and then there's, you know, Francia and Charlemagne and that kingdom. And then it goes into the Kingdom of France and the Bourbons and then into the Republic. It's the same people, it's the same place. Okay, so that they go all the way through. The only people who aren't counted as, you know, for France are the Gauls. Again, there are obvious reasons for that. And then finally, there's the Byzantine Empire, who have a ratio of 1.2. That's the top 10. Okay, over to the next stat now. A little bit tight, this scar. Maybe I'll give it a touch-up in a second. So we've got world history, military performance by league points. Now, league points, I've given 3 points for a win, 1 point for a draw, 0 points for a loss, as in the Football League, as in the Premier League, for example. You know, universal sports rules. And here, this is the top 10. Now, in the case of a tie, it goes with whoever has the most wins overall. So there was a tie for 10th place, which I'll get to. But that's how we're doing it, all right? And when done on this metric, the top power easily is the British. The British have 250 points overall, a whopping 69 wins, 43 draws, and just 12 losses in all of history. For the British, number two is Russia, 37 wins, 9 draws. 37 wins, 9 losses, and 11 draws for Russia, 122 points. Number three is China, 37 wins, 10 draws, 16 losses, with the caveat that some of those wins and losses, of course, are against regions or people that we'd think of as Chinese today. No easy way to do that, because China is kind of an empire in and of itself, right? So the unification of China adds to its, just because of the way it was done, adds to its win-loss counts. But that is also true for, let's say, the Romans, who we'll talk about in a bit. France has 112 points, 30 wins, 22 draws, 22 losses. Now, I can see some people quibbling over this. They'll be saying, oh, hold on a second, Napoleon was the greatest military genius in history. The French are actually the most impressive military power in history. You're just doing this, AA, because you're biased, right? And, okay, I do have two horses in the fight, okay? My mother, as a Brit, so obviously I have Britain, you know, I'm British, and love this country, so obviously, you know, you say, well, that's one way he's biased. And then, of course, my dad is Iranian or Persian, and therefore, you know, there's a second horse I've kind of got in it as Persia. But I haven't done it in that way. This is literally just going on looking at Wikipedia lists of wars involving Britain or involving France and taking the final victory, defeat, or draw. Okay? Now, what people like Niall Ferguson have done when they've produced other statistics is they've looked at battles. So, for example, in the case of Napoleon, he won lots and lots of battles, but then he lost at Waterloo against Duke of Wellington and Nelson. Okay, he basically lost in the end to the British, but he won tons of battles in the lead up, as an example. Okay. If you win lots of battles but ultimately lose the war, it goes down as an L. Possibly an easier example for most people would be the Germans in the Second World War. The Germans won lots of battles in World War II, but there's no doubt that they lost the overall war. And what we're looking at in these stats is the overall war. So France, in their history, have won more battles than any other nation, and that is beyond... I think that's been done many times statistically. But I'm looking at overall wars, not battles, because ultimately it's the wars that count, not the battles. Okay? So the fifth power in the league table is the good old US of A. Newcomers on the block, 250 years. 88 points, 26 wins, 10 draws, 5 losses. Nothing to sniff at all, given that they're new to this game. And what's remarkable is that you look at the top five in the World History War League table, and what do you notice? Britain, Russia, China, France, USA. What is unique about those five nations? Answers on a postcard. I'll tell you. Those are the five nations that sit as permanent members of the UN Security Council. Just so happened to be the five most militarily successful nations in history are also the five who sit on that council. Maybe might is right after all. Number six, after the USA, is the Roman Empire with 80 points, 24 wins, 8 draws, and just 3 losses. An absolutely remarkable record for the Romans. Now, again, some people, if you're into Roman history, be like, hold on a second, only 35 conflicts, eh? How's that then? Well, like I was saying, lots of little battles in larger military campaigns. What we're counting is the overall war, not the individual battles, okay? Number seven on the list is Iran or Persia. Now, they have a very long history And they have times where they were very good, like the early Persian Empire, the one under Cyrus, tons of wins for them. They've got periods where they were bottom of the table. Qajar, the Qajars in the 19th century, if I can remember, basically posted 0 wins and like 6 losses in that period. Awful period for Iran. They kind of did like a, I don't know, like a Nottingham Forest or something. You know, like Nottingham Forest under Brian Clough, winning the European League 1 year and then bottom of the table a couple of years later. Anyway, 62 points, 15 wins, 17 draws, 22 losses for the Persians or the Iranians. Number 8 is Mongolia. That's Genghis Khan and friends. 57 points, 18 wins, 3 draws, 9 losses. India is 9th with 50 points. Now, India is a little bit tricky because it's been under different. So, where it was the Mughal Empire, that counts as India. Where it was British India, that counts as India. Where it was. So, in India's case, it's whoever the dominant power was counts towards its stats, okay? They have 14 wins, 8 draws, 19 losses, right? So, India around a long time, but kind of like perennial losers in a way. As well. And number 10 was Turkey or the Ottoman Empire, who also get combined stats for the purposes of this exercise. 10 wins, 9 draws, 11 losses for the Turks. Moving on, and we have now most warlike nations in world history by total number of conflicts. This one is particularly striking. Because the top nation here, being Britain, with 124 conflicts, is the most warlike nation by quite some distance. I mean, the British number is insane. 124 conflicts, ladies and gentlemen. My gosh. Britannia rules the waves, eh? So, yeah, it's not even close. Next nation is France with 74. And don't forget, France has a longer time span as well. British history, for the purposes of this, starts in 850. Francis starts in something like 330 AD. Number three is China, who have an even longer history, but only 62 conflicts. Iran, with 60 conflicts, is the fourth most warlike nation. Russia with 57. India with 41. This is another insane stat, by the way. USA is number 7 with 41 conflicts, despite the fact that it only entered the game in 1776. So, as we'll see with a later stat, pound for pound, the Americans are very warlike, more aggressive even than the British, as we'll see. Number 8 is the Roman Empire with 35. Number 9 are the Mongolians with 30. Number 10, the Turks. With 30 as well. So let's move on now to the most warlike nations by war rate. And this is what I was talking about. If you like my mug, by the way, see, I never plug my merch, but got an academic agent mug. There you go. Look on the back, it says, "No, no, no, get out." anyway. Not quite time for that yet. So most warlike nations by war rate. Now, this is calculated by taking the total number of years on the books. So in America's case, that's 250 years from its founding to now. And then dividing the total number of conflicts by that and working out a year rate, okay? So in the case of the USA, it has had 6.1 wars. Sorry, every 6.1 years there is a war in American history. So that's one war every 6.1 years, making America exceptionally aggressive as a nation. Okay. Number two in all of history is actually Israel, who have a war rate of 7.7. So that's every 7.7 years, Israel is involved in some sort of conflict. making Israel a very warlike nation. And number three is Britain, with a war rate of 12.71. So roughly every 13 years, Britain has been involved in a war, and that is taking its starting point back in 850 AD. So over 1,000 years, Britain has had at least one war every 12 or 13 years, which is crazy. France is more like 20, 19.8. Russia, more like 21, 20.96. Prussia / Germany, 21.32. The Babylonians, 21.4. Spanish Empire, 22.68. For the Spanish, by the way, it's from the start of the Spanish Empire, after the Reconquista, basically, until present day. So Spain, our continent, modern day Spain, counts towards it as well. Ottoman Empire, 24.2. That was around for 726 years, by the way, the Ottoman Empire. And the Greeks had a war roughly every 25.32 years in its 177-year span. That's the ancient Greeks. Table 5 is worst military record by most losses in world history. Now, here we must caveat that in some ways, a lot of the ones who dominate here are also, as we've seen in the top 10, by dint of just being around for a very long time, which explains why our number one power by most losses is France, with 22 losses. But that is because France had 74 conflicts. Okay. So, I mean, I'm not like trying to have a go at France and saying like, haha, worst losers in history. This is just what the stats are throwing up. And as you'll see, I've said I've got a horse in the fight, right? Well, Iran also has 22 losses. So they're joint worst by most losses in history are France and Iran. You could also say, well, that's because France and Iran have constantly been at war, constantly been in wars all across history. India is number three with 19 losses, and they don't really have that many wins to their name either. China has got 16, and you can see there's a kind of longevity bias here. Those nations that have been around a very long time also have the most losses, just stands to reason. That is how, even with only 12 losses in history, England / Britain is still ranking as fifth here. The Turks are 11 losses. The Mongolians had 9, Russia had 9, Spanish Empire 7, and Poland 6. So I'm not sure about whether that table is particularly useful. Possibly more useful is the worst win-loss ratio. So that is how many wins divided by how many losses. And here, the worst ratio is Carthage, with a ratio of 0.33, which is absolutely woeful. Holy Roman Empire, stacking only 2 wins, 3 losses in 10 conflicts. So they were draw specialists, basically, but they had more losses than wins. Iran, 0.68. India, 0.73. Spanish Empire, 0.85. Ottoman Empire, 0.9. Byzantines 1.2, Netherlands 1.2, Poland 1.16, and Austria 1.25. So that's before we kind of get out of here. This cigar's been pretty tight, I'm afraid. Tight. There might be more smoke coming from this, but we've got the rationale for not conflating the Roman Empire and the Byzantine Empire. Because when I did this on Twitter, you had all the usual suspects saying, well, hey, how come, some people get, composite stats, but the Byzantines aren't counted as the Romans. And, if you have a look at these stats here, the fact is that the Roman Empire had an absolutely stonking record. The best win-loss ratio in history, 8.0. The Byzantines, were not the same people. They were Armenians, they were Slavs, they were Greeks. They just weren't Romans, let's face it. Okay, they may have thought themselves as Romans or had continuity or had politically said they were Romans or whatever. They're not the same people. And if you just have a look at the stats, well, I mean, the Byzantines are stacking L's. They're stacking L's to Arabs and Turks left and right. Fights that maybe the Romans wouldn't have lost, right? So I didn't want to tank the Roman stats by having, you know, mid-table Byzantine Empire bringing down the champs. It's like saying, oh, why don't you conflate Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid, right? They both got Madrid in the name. It's the same thing. Actually, they're two different clubs, right? And if you were a Real Madrid fan, you wouldn't want Atletico Madrid stats bodging up your averages, right? Because they're champs every year and they've won the Champions League a lot. Atletico haven't. And it's the same with the Roman Empire and the Byzantine Empire, okay? So hopefully you understand my rationale, although I do know there are lots of people who feel very strongly about this, okay? And we can go through... I did list the various losses that the Romans and the British and the Russians had out of interest. I won't go through those here because it's, you know, the video will be too long. But what I will do is I'll look at the final league table. Here's the top 15 done by points. You can have a look there. Who didn't we really talk about? I mean, the Egyptians have got a long history, so they sneak in at 12th. Portuguese having a better record than the Spanish. That will ruffle a few feathers, I'm sure. But yeah, on paper, the Portuguese, better win-loss record, more points than the Spanish. And the Prussians coming in, or the Germans coming in at 14. Obviously, the Germans suffer from a few very high-profile losses in those stats. So then, if we have a look at the next 15 at the bottom half of the table, Israel, despite only existing from 1948, actually has a stonking win-loss ratio of 7, making it... Now, when I did those stats, I excluded nations that had less than 15 conflicts, you know, for obvious reasons, because I wanted to make it, you know, robust. But if you take away that caveat, Israel would actually be second in the win-loss ratio. They didn't have the numbers, basically, to get into that, you know, that earlier table. And they're posted 23 points, which makes them 16 in all of world history already, even though they've only been around since 1948. So pretty impressive military record for Israel. The Poles, just behind them, both of them above the Byzantine Empire, who frankly have a woeful, considering how much power they had, they pretty woeful military record. The Dutch and the Japanese there. I mean, the Dutch notable for getting a win against the English in the First Anglo-Dutch War. Ultimately, the British always come back and win, but it's significant to get a win against them. Japanese notable for a win against the Mongolians, one of the wins against the Mongolians. Swedes, not a bad military force, I can see there. Holy Roman Empire, shocking record, to be honest. Aztecs and the Incas being above the Greeks, I can see annoying some people. My buddy Carl, for example, I know was having an absolute fit saying like, the Greeks had loads of battles, blah, blah, blah. Look, it goes on wars, okay? And then right down the bottom, we got the Babylonians and the Carthaginians. And you could say, well, you know, maybe Wikipedia is being harsher to the ancient powers, or there's more granular detail on the more recent ones. You could argue all of that out in the comments. Frankly, I'm not interested in quibblings over the stats. I would just say that it's quite interesting, isn't it, just by how much the people of these islands are the most warlike people in history, one of the best win-loss ratio, the second best win-loss ratio in history, the most league points in history, the most conflict in history. Just remarkable, really. So, yeah. I can see this video upsetting, like, some French. Your mother was a hamster. It's all right. Like, it's all in good fun, you know. it's all in good fun. Honestly, the Americans, looking at their record, have got a lot to be proud of as well. You know, they're no slouches, and on the current trajectory, if they carry on for the next 100 years, like they have been for the past 100 years, they could rack up a record like the British as well. You know, in theory. I will note that of all of those draws that you saw the British had, a lot of them have come under Pax Americana. America has a lot of draws to its name where you feel like, you know, the British would have won those or would have had a W in the column. America stacked a lot of draws, okay, and some significant L's as well, like against Vietnam, it's counted as an L. A couple of weird quirks in the data, and I couldn't quite understand why both Wikipedia and Grok did this, but for Afghanistan, Britain gets a draw, whereas America gets an L, and I'm like, that's pretty harsh, like, why is that? And basically it's to do with, like, the specific timing of when they announced the withdrawal. So Britain said they were coming out at a point where you could still call it a draw, whereas America came out at a point where it looked like an L. Okay, that's on Joe Biden. Basically, it's on Joe Biden as to why that's an L for America and a D for Britain. Don't know, if you just take it up with the Wikipedia editors, okay? But it does mean, given that technicality, it does mean that Britain technically has not lost a war, according to Wikipedia, this is, since 1881, which I believe was the first Boer War. And, of course, it did come back to win the rematch, as Britain often did. A lot of Britain's L's are in round one of a kind of home and away tie or something like that. Like, often Britain wins the second iteration, okay? Doesn't always go that way. 100 Years' War would be an example of when it went the other way and the French ultimately won. But, so some of those stats are bolstered by things like that. You know, the Boer War wasn't just one war. You know, there was actually three wars in there. Anglo-Zulu War, Second Boer War. All of these are counted in the stats. Whereas some of the huge ancient campaigns, like some of the Roman-Persian Wars, for example, had tons of battles and so on, it's still only counted as one war, you know. So I think there's, you know, it's like there's the first one and there's the second one and so on. I mean, but still within those, they're huge, huge wars. Whereas something like the Anglo-Zulu War was quite a small conflict. So you could argue that things like the way that these stats are counted kind of favour the sorts of wars that the British Empire fought. That is just a quirk of the way Wikipedia has arranged these things. Anyway, all fun. I think maybe the guys at Lotus Eaters are all history buffs. Could have a fun lads hour looking at this or whatever, tearing the stats to shreds. Honestly, bring it on. I'd love to see it. Pick up a course at the Academic Agency, Foundations of Shakespeare, of course, Trivium, but most importantly of all, friends, get out. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the Academic Agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just 3 of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.